the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as he shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires, yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey everybody, welcome to Scaredy Cats, our horror show. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Gorgeous Hummer.
Hello guys, it's Kooky Mindy. I am here.
I'm here with my sister Mindy, and we have the top 10 minds in the horror genre for you.
This can be anything from directors to creative to writers, poetry, and actors or actresses.
Yes, just any presence in the horror genre, whether it be behind the scenes or even a contribution on screen, all minds in horror, basically. People that have helped put this genre together that we love and talk about every week. Uh-huh. Now, we have a lot to unpack here because we have that. We also, our new format for the show, we will be drawing names out of a hat for the next few movies we're going to be covering here on the show. And we will be doing the first 5 picks here today. So a lot of exciting stuff to get into. Before we do all that, let's go to the plugs. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Friday for after AEW for their regular wrestling show, and then the Hollywood Hangout movie review after SmackDown on Friday. So make sure to check those guys out. They're beautiful people. Make sure to check out Elite Diplodoc. That is our buddy Sean on YouTube. Watch him fail.
Yeah, go watch my best friend Sean fail at stuff, guys. He doesn't advertise me, but...
He advertises the network, so... Okay. And make sure to check out his Twitch at Sneaky Fetty. And, of course, listen to us at 6:30 p.m. on Fridays for the Unscripted Wrestling Show, the hottest wrestling show in the world right now. That's not an actual stat, but... And check out Unscripted Unlimited, our second show. We have all kinds of fun stuff we're doing. We just did a top 10 cartoons yesterday, and Doug's doing some cartoon battle next week. So check that out. And make sure, check us out here, 3 p.m., Scaredy Cats, live.
Yep. Always we also have time. Our Facebook page, the Scaredy Cats Podcast, and we have our YouTube page now, the Scaredy Cats Podcast.
Exactly. So if you ever want to get oral from me and Mindy, make sure to check us out. Oh, this is oral, technically.
It is. You had to say that, guys, because I gave him a look. Like.
We're always here to give good oral and talk about the genre we love. So first off, before we get into our top 10 list, we've both been working on them all week. But let's figure out what we're doing here for the show the next upcoming weeks, Mindy. We got the bag.
We do, guys. We have a little bag here of, you can hear it, but maybe like 50 different ones. So we're going to dig into the bag here.
Absolutely.
And see what we got going on. So, first one.
Let's do it. What we are doing on the show for next week.
Alright, next week's show.
This is a unanimous pick. My eyes are closed. I got more than one in my hand here. Get that to one. All right.
What
do we got? We'll be doing Candyman 3.
Candyman 3, all right. Farewell to the Flesh. That's a good one.
You want to pick one, man?
Sure, I'll pick one. This is the second one that we're going to do. I have no idea what I wrote down. The Loved Ones. There we go. Australian classic there for you guys. It's really, really brutal.
You can keep it going.
Okay.
But here's number 3.
Number 3.
This is what we'll do in 3 weeks.
And it is?
Pulse.
Pulse.
Right? The
yep.
English version.
Pulse, the English version. Okay. It's the beautiful Kristen, what is her name? Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell, sweet.
All right. Seed of Chucky. Yes, right. This is a good one. Not really, but we're gonna take it in stride, guys. It's really not. But we're going to take it.
I fucking love Seed of Chucky. I'm excited. All right. In 5 weeks is what we're doing. We'll do the rest in a later day. Let's see what we got here.
All right.
All right. Cheerleading camp. Classic.
Cheerleading camp. Classic. It's like the Sledgeway camp one that we've done before.
Yeah. So we'll be doing that in the next 5 weeks, and make sure to keep checking us out. We're excited to keep bringing these great movies to you. Probably after that, we'll do a theme episode, something like this, something crazy, wacky.
Anyone has any ideas, like we said, we're on Facebook, we're on TikTok, we're on YouTube, we're basically everywhere right now.
Yeah.
So let us know, and maybe your horror movie will get put into our baggie.
Yeah. And like and subscribe. There's a lot of ways we'd like to keep taking the channel and the podcast and everything. We'd love to do giveaways and shit. So if people want to start, engaging a little more or keep joining, send to your friends and we'll keep giving you the content.
Yeah, guys, I had somebody that just came out for the holiday season with hand-painted horror machetes.
Exactly.
They're beautiful, guys. Yeah. Give us a reason to give them one away to you. Come on.
Yeah. And with all that being said, let's get into our top 10 minds in horror. This is a big one, Mindy, because there's fans of horror and then there's us, especially when it comes to behind the scenes. To me, this is a good list for us because we really know, and I'm not acting like we're smart marks and know the business.
We know a lot of actors. We know a lot of poets. We know a lot of directors and creative directors. And
we've done a lot of time, over the years researching people that make this shit happen. So it's kind of nice to celebrate them a little bit. And with that being said, let's get to your number 10, Mind and Horror.
All right. My number 10 is definitely going to have to be Donald Pleasance. He was the man that played Samuel Loomis in Halloween, the original, Halloween 2, Halloween 4, Halloween 5, Halloween 6.
Okay. You got Loomis.
I got Loomis.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different dynamic, and that is what I enjoy about this list, is because this isn't a director, this isn't a writer, but it's a dude that brought a character that is now a legendary character in horror history to life.
And it's so legendary that people don't even try to remix that part anymore.
Exactly.
Like, for the new and upcoming Halloween series, they have a different doctor for him.
And
he killed off really, really quickly.
Absolutely. And I love Malcolm McDowell. He's one of the best fine actors of our time, or the previous time probably, but he's a great actor and he couldn't do it justice.
No.
It's just a role that was defined by that man. So I'd have to agree with that pick, maybe.
All right. Daniel, number 10.
My number 10, he does a lot of other stuff, so I had to only put him at 10, but I went with James Gunn. And
okay.
I went with James Gunn for a variety of reasons. He's underrated in horror. One, he's got the classic Slither.
Yes.
Slither is one of the best horror movies in the last 20 years. And I hate creature movies, and that is a great fucking movie. And he wrote and directed that with the snake and shit. So that's hard to do. He made that great.
And also, what a brutal piece to put in your number 10.
Yeah.
Because Slither was gross.
Yeah, it was disgusting. And he's done all sorts of different stuff. He wrote the script for Dawn of the Dead because Zack Snyder's another one I was going to put on this list, but I think he's ventured too much from horror to really put him here. But he wrote the script for that. That's one of the best zombie movies in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
He wrote and directed, I don't know if he directed.
No, it is a remake.
It's a remake from someone else that I'm sure will be on one of our lists. But still, he wrote that movie, and it's a great movie.
Yeah.
He made Brightburn, the only horror movie, superhero movie crossover there's ever been, about basically an evil Superman, but in the scary slasher sense. He's done a lot of different shit that I don't know if has got credited all the way in today's climate. So he's my number 10.
Yeah, definitely creative. Good job. Good pick.
Thank you.
All right. My number 9 is going to be Sam Raimi. Something. Sorry, guys. It's R-A-I-M-I.
Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi. Okay. As you all know, here on Scaredy Cat, Cindy, unfortunately, pronounces shit wrong, and then Daniel has to make up for it. So, yeah, Sam Raimi. He actually came up with the concept of practical effects being used throughout an entire movie. And also, he's really good at gross-out horror.
Yeah.
Very good at that. He made a really, really big stomp in the horror movie scene in the 80s with The Evil Dead, with that whole series.
Yeah.
And then he also did a fantastic movie called Drag Me to Hell with a pale Justin Long.
Yes.
Really, really good movie. But it is disgusting. Just go put that out there. He is a gross man.
He's disgusting.
He's like pea soup exorcism disgusting. Like, it's gross.
And what's crazy about Sam Raimi, and like, this is a horror list, so we are mostly focused on what they've done in horror. But what we can't forget, this is the guy that made the original Spider-Man trilogy with Tobey Maguire. And so he's done so much. He can, like, he's Hall of Fame for that.
Yeah.
Now, when you put everything he's done in horror with Evil Dead and stuff, he definitely belongs on this list. But that's just a great creative mind.
Absolutely.
He's done so many different stuff.
Yes.
So that's your number nine, right?
Yep.
Okay. My number nine, and I know you're going to kill me, but I went with Kane Hodder. He's the one of the actors that played Jason Voorhees. He's played some monsters in The Hills Have Eyes, I believe. He's also been in Predators.
Yes.
He is a known stunt actor. He's the only stunt actor I have on my list, but I feel like they get underappreciated in horror, so I wanted to put him in there. Because this guy has brought so many, you know, iconic things to life. And, you know, his Jason was the best Jason. He was the most versatile, moved the best, and he's done that in different roles. So I think, because a stunt actor, especially because when you talk about the Michaels, like, those people are underappreciated because they bring those characters to life. They don't say anything, but they're still a big part of the movie with what they're doing and grabbing people, throwing them at trees and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he made my list.
I would say good pick.
Thank
Very
you.
Very good pick. For my number eight, as soon as people hear this, they're going to be like, oh, my God, Mindy, really? You went with the obvious? But I did go with the obvious. My number eight, sorry guys, going to papers and stuff. My number eight for Masters of Horror would have to be Mr. Robert Englund. Because not only is he famous for his fabulous Freddy Krueger, but he's also known in a few other parts too. He played a professor in Urban Legends.
Yeah.
He had a little bit in Candyman. So very cool, honestly.
Absolutely. I think his contributions are, you know, he deserves the acclaim that he's gotten. I know he's done a lot of that other stuff, too, and he was great in Urban Legend and other stuff. He is Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
And when you can be known as a character, and, like, Jason's been so many things, Michael's been so many things, you don't have – Kane Hodder's the only really one you have Jason. But when you think of Freddy, you think of Robert Englund.
Absolutely.
You think of that performance. I did like the guy in the remake. I thought he did fine. But Robert Englund is Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
So – he's a great mind, and he's always gave, from what I've heard behind the scenes, he's always gave constructive criticism, and, you know, he's had creative control over the character as well. So he has helped bring that character to life that we all know and love.
Yes. I would definitely, definitely agree with that. So that is my number eight pick, Robert Englund.
Absolutely. Now, I went with James, but I went with a different James for my number eight.
Yeah.
I know what James you're going with, but I'm going with James Wong. Now, James Wong is special because another very creative horror director, but his biggest claim to fame and the reason he's on this list is the Final Destination movie.
Oh!
Because
I knew it.
There's something that is one of the most creative, new, and they've done it nine times for a reason. It is something that no one's ever really thought of before. How do we do this? I know you got to give a lot of it to the screenwriter. I got to give it to James Wong for bringing it to life.
Absolutely.
Because all those scenes, the shit he did with the roller coasters and 3 and the airplane crash, he made these great set pieces come to life, and he made horror like an action. And it wasn't action. They're horror movies. But he made it like an event, and he made it like something that you want to go see with your friends every time a new one comes out.
Absolutely.
So that changed the game. So
yep. We have a new one coming out, too, from that franchise.
Exactly.
Later this year.
We're still feeling the effects from it. So James Wong is my number eight.
Okay. James who?
Wong.
Oh. I thought that was the one that did the...
That's not Conjuring. That's not yours.
Conjuring?
No. James Wong is Final Destination.
Oh, I thought James Wong was the Conjuring. All right, sorry, guys.
That's Wan.
Oh, it's Wan. Okay. We got it. Sorry, guys. My number seven is going to be to a very specific, sick individual. He made the movie known as The Green Inferno.
Oh, God.
He also had a handle in The Wicker Man, the original. Great movie. Eli Roth. Sick bitch.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. He is the only person that I know that can consistently come out with cannibal after cannibal after cannibal movie and still have a job.
I don't fucking know. I will say, from what I've seen from him, it's very creative. If not my part of the genre, I fucking hate those movies. I hate Green Inferno. That shit fucking still lives with me to this day, and I hate it. But for what he's been able to do with movies and horror, he has made a name for himself, and he kind of I'm trying to think of the right words, but he kind of edged out his own spot in history with horror.
Oh, absolutely.
And what he's able to, because no one ever really touches that. You do have other movies in that vicinity, but he does it the best, and I guess that's got to speak for something. It's not my shit, but, I like
it. I can still be respected.
Yes.
I think. And just like Sam Raimi, he introduced a new genre of horror to us. I mean, the cannibals of horror have been out there for years.
Yeah.
But you didn't really want a full cannibal movie, and then Eli Roth came out with it, and people were eating it up.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I said eating. But, yeah, that's my personal opinion for number 7. I mean, I don't really like his movies. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a cannibal person. I don't really like it. But I will give respect where respect is due.
Yeah, he has his spot for sure. Now, my number 7 is someone we all grew up with, R.L. Stein. I think kind of an underrated version of Stephen King. I think one of the greatest horror authors of all time for what he's able to, even we're seeing it with Fear Street now. Look how well Fear Street's doing. But Goosebumps is a national treasure. People, that is some of kids' first introduction to horror is Goosebumps. And that's how, they become fans and listen to this show to this day. So you got to appreciate R.L. Stein for what he was able to do. And how many fucking books and shit is in that series. It's huge. And he
not
still
to mention like the not to mention the home video series that he did for it as well.
Exactly.
With The Mask and Tower of Terror.
They were huge.
They were
huge movies.
Very huge.
Yeah. For TV movies, they had big audiences. People loved them. So R.L. Stein did a lot of cool, crazy shit, and very ahead of its time for back then, too. So that's my number 7.
And I will add on to that a little bit, Daniel, and say that R.L. Stein is definitely like an anthology writer.
Yeah.
But I like his stories a lot better than any other anthologies because it's new.
Yeah, it's fresh.
Yeah, it wasn't a thing yet back then.
Yeah, I'd agree.
All right, guys, my number 6 is Tony Todd.
I knew you said that.
We all knew I was coming from Tony. Hello. Tony Todd is my favorite. He is the Candyman. We all know this. He also plays the coroner in Final Destination 1, 2, and then 5. Really weird. But you guys, if you watch it, if you watch the series, then you'll understand why I'm saying that. But in the 3rd one, they did use his voice.
Okay.
For the roller coaster. He was the devil.
Yeah.
When they went up on the roller coaster. But usually in Final Destination, he is the coroner.
Yeah.
And that's actually what they call him, too. They don't ever give him a name.
No, it's just that creepy corner.
Yeah.
And from, Candyman, and obviously, I mean, he, even at the end, we feel the effects of him in the new Candyman, where he shows up at the end for a little Candyman.
Yeah, he does a little tiny monologue.
So, Tony Todd, he is so infamous in horror. Like, him and Robert Englund, I put right there.
Yeah, they're side by side.
Because, when you think of him, when you think of the horror genre, you think of him. And I think that's one of the most important things in making this list. So,
because he's just creepy.
He is creepy, and he's great in that scary role. He is the Candyman, but like you said, he etched out a name for himself in Final Destination.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
I agree. He, great actor. Now, was it 6 or 5? 6?
We're on 6, yes.
My number 6, I went with one Scream Queen, and I went with the Scream Queen, Jamie Lee Curtis. I give Halloween a bunch of love on my list. I don't know why. But because it's not my favorite franchise of all time, but you can't disrespect what she's done. She's been in how many Halloween movies? She's been in two different timelines, for God's sakes. And this
and
woman has made
that,
it work.
And not only that, guys, but if you go back to the 80s, Daniel, she did The Fog.
Prom Night.
She did Prom Night.
Yeah.
She did Terror Train.
Yeah.
Final Exam. Like,
she's
come
the
on.
Scream Queen. Even Randy said it in Scream.
Yeah.
When you think of Scream Queen, you think of Jamie Lee Curtis. She was the pretty girl that screamed the best and ran the best, and you always thought she might fight off the bad guy. When you were in that era and you want to cast somebody for your horror movie, the first person you think of is her.
Yeah.
So she is what she is. To me, six might even be a little too low, but she had to make my list because she is the greatest Scream Queen of all time.
I will definitely agree with you on that. Because even the other Scream Queens that I've grown to love, like Jennifer Love Hewitt and Neve Campbell and all of that, they do not compare.
No, you can't beat the original.
No.
Sometimes. All right, Mindy, number five.
Number five is going to be my man, James, from the Conjuring series.
James Wan.
That's James W-A-N. Wan. W-A-N?
Yes.
Okay. I got it right. I spelled it right. I really, really, really love this director because not a lot of people can say I made horror movies into a universe.
Yes.
Like, we have the superhero universe with Marvel and everything, and then, like, a bunch of action, a bunch of comedy universes and whatnot. Never have we had a horror universe. And he did so good.
Yeah.
And he's still doing great. He's got another one coming out for the Conjuring series. It was just announced the other day, The Crooked Man.
Yeah.
That they mentioned in the second Conjuring movie. He's going to get his own movie now. And it can easily be seen as campy, honestly, but he does a really good job.
Yeah. To me, when you think a revolutionary in horror, James Wan is the revolutionary.
Yeah.
Because he... And not even The Conjuring. He made Saw.
Yeah, I know.
He made the first Saw, and he made the second Saw. So he started that franchise, and how huge has that become? Again, not our thing, but you got to give respect to it. The torture porn, Saw made torture porn.
Mm-hmm.
You got Hostel, and you got other things. I don't know what the first was, but torture porn is Saw.
I would say the torture porn basically started a Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But Saw made it. Into, like, the 2000s, it made
yeah.
it, like, a big thing.
Saw made it mainstream.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And, like you said, we're in an era of the connected universe. Everyone wants to do that, but a lot of things fail. And, a lot, like, you look at the Dark Universe that, was it Sony? I don't know, but Paramount, maybe. But the Dark Universe, where they were going to take all the monsters like they used to do back in the day, Frankenstein, you know, the Invisible Man.
Monster movies.
And the Mummy. They wanted to bring those all, and it failed.
Yeah.
With the Mummy, with the Tom Cruise Mummy. It's hard to make shit like that work in horror because everything coming together and being connected, it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
They did a great job.
He does do a great job.
He made Insidious, too,
yeah.
which is a great standalone scary movie.
Yeah, the first one. Don't waste your time on the second one.
He didn't make the second one. He made the first one.
Okay. Well, that actually shows then.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree.
And a guy that I was considering for my list, Patrick Wilson, who is the dad or the husband in The Conjuring, and he's also Insidious. James Wan brought him to life and made him a great horror movie actor.
He did.
So James Wan has done a lot for the genre. He's doing stuff with Aquaman and shit now, too, but Malignant just came out. I heard that was great. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I think it's on HBO Max.
But he's always doing new shit with horror, so yeah. I do respect him.
Absolutely. A lot of respect towards that guy.
All right. My number five, the reason that we know zombies today, George A. Romero.
Oh, George Romero.
Without him, we wouldn't have, you know, Dawn of the Dead, Army of the Dead, all the shit we have now, Walking Dead. Anything zombie-related you won't have without George A. Romero in Night of the Living Dead. And he made the first Dawn of the Dead. He is the reason that zombies are so huge, and he is the reason for the mainstream popularity. It all came from that mind. He was the zombie guy.
Absolutely.
You can't beat that.
No.
So to me, any horror list, because zombies, and I know we've talked about, sometimes it's hard because zombies can go into action too with what you do with zombies. You can take zombies away from horror, but in George A. Romero's original plot for zombies, it was very horror-based. It was very, like, survival horror type.
They're very creepy.
Yeah. So for what he did for the genre, we wouldn't have a subgenre without him. And the subgenre that is just zombies that's so successful to this day.
Absolutely.
So he had to be my number five. All right, we're getting low here. Number four.
All right, guys. My number four is going to have to be John Carpenter.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Really, really big name. I'm actually really surprised with myself that he ended up being number four. But amazing, amazing visionary. Amazing creative director. And an amazing director. I mean, he's still, to this day, still with the Halloween series.
Yeah.
Like, he's the executive producer now and the creative director.
Yeah.
Of the Halloween films. And that's amazing. So, I would say really, 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 really good director.
I mean, yeah. It's called John Carpenter's Halloween for a reason.
Yeah.
When people say, they'd say it like that, because it is John Carpenter. His original vision for Halloween and Michael Myers is one of the scariest fucking things of all time. That's one of the greatest movies in horror.
And that's why I think this new trilogy, Daniel, is actually doing pretty well, honestly.
Yeah.
For itself, because they have him on.
Yes.
Like, Rob Zombie, he didn't include James Carpenter.
Right.
All. So I think that that's what this little franchise has above everyone else that's tried to do Halloween stuff.
You're right. You're very well right. Now, next up, I have for my number four, Bram Stoker. And because Bram Stoker, without him, we wouldn't have Dracula.
No, we would not.
Now, I talked about zombies. Vampires are just as important to the genre. Yes, they have veered off into drama with your stupid Twilight shit and everything. And
I do not like Twilight anymore, guys. It was a phase. It was a phase that I went through when I was 18 up till I was like 22, and then I was done.
Exactly. But vampires, much like zombies, started out very horror and very sinister. And that, a lot of that started with Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
The movie Bram Stoker's Dracula is amazing.
It is.
And his writings, if you go back and, because to me, I had to put him on my list because he's one of the more underrated ones. There's a couple I know that have to be on the list. He at least should be in the top 10 for what he's done with monster movies in general. And Dracula, I mean, that's one of the best characters in horror history.
Yep.
So that's my number four.
All right. We're going on to number three now, guys. My third one is Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay.
If you do not know who he is, please stop this video right now. Go pick up a book. Just go pick up a book. He's really, 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 really good. Very old-fashioned. Very into scaring the crap out of you. One of those things where after you read his stories, you have to stay up at night. You can't go to sleep after reading those things.
No.
They're just really creepy and really scary. Unfortunately, really, 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 really dead old. So I can't say that we would see anything new from him ever because he's not alive anymore. But if he was, I could definitely see him making an impact more.
I mean, yeah, quote the Raven, Nevermore, you know, this guy with the... Okay, what's the big one? The Telltale Heart, mm-hmm. The Black Cat, which was, I was telling you earlier about him.
Oh, the Black Cat.
That is one of the, like, if you want a destruction of the human psyche and you want just a totally different piece on the mind, The Black Cat's a great story to read. The Cask of Amontillado.
Oh, that was a really good one.
That was the one I was talking about earlier, too, when he's breaking in to get the wine or whatever.
Yeah, that's a really good one, too.
He just, there was some, and... Because it's so original, because no one was really doing shit like that when he was doing shit like that. And the pain of his life, because if you look up his story, it's one of the most tragic stories of life with his wife and everything that happened. His life sucked. And he made art out of it, and he made this horror, and he kind of, like, birthed the horror genre out of all of his heartbreak and sadness and shit.
Yeah.
Like, there was other shit like that going around, but Edgar Allan Poe made horror what it is, especially horror writing and authors. He influenced everybody.
And short stories, like anthology series
yeah.
and whatnot, they wouldn't be possible without him.
Yeah. And people took his stories and made like the Raven movie with John Cusack and stuff. Like his writings are still having effects to this day, and they were wrote in 1989 and shit. Yeah. Or 1889. It was real, though. The early 1900s. And those were still, you know, feeling the effects of that, and the fact that they've aged so well, too. Because you can still read The Raven and be like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You can still read that stuff and be like, it's got a different scary type vibe. It's still scary, but it's got an eerie vibe to it, and it's really good.
Yeah. And just like the way that he talks, very Shakespeare-esque, but it was after Shakespeare. But still, I mean, he was the Shakespeare of horror writing.
Absolutely.
For a very, very long time. I mean, without him, we probably wouldn't have had Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
No. We wouldn't have had a lot of shit that we have today.
Yeah.
And his old Victorian writings and the scary shit. And even like his era, like we look at that in a creepy vibe because of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy. Like one man made us look at that whole era like that.
Yeah.
So he's crazy. He's awesome. And he definitely deserves a spot on the list. My number three is someone equally as brilliant, Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, Mr. Hitchcock.
Mr. Horror. I mean, without his early movies back in the day, the black and white movies and stuff, we wouldn't know what horror is right now. We wouldn't be talking about it. Those would have died off and it would have sucked. We have a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about horror. So without him succeeding and doing what he did so well.
I mean, The Birds is still one of my favorite movies to this day.
Exactly.
So, just saying. And I don't really like black and white that much. And The Birds was like a mix between color and black and white.
Psycho.
I liked it.
All you got to say is Psycho.
Psycho.
I mean, Norman Bates was like, they just made a successful 8-series show on Norman Bates a few years ago.
Yes, they did.
There's a reason for that. His Rear Window, Vertigo. He's had so many great movies and great, you know, just the mind of Alfred Hitchcock is like, he's horror's Walt Disney. Horror had a Walt Disney, that's Alfred Hitchcock. That's who I would think of. So that's my number three. All right, Mindy, top two.
All right. My number two is going to have to be Wes Craven, Mr. Craven. Other than Scream, he has done an amazing collection of horror films, you guys. He did The Hills Have Eyes. He did The Blob. He did The Thing. Just a very, very, very good horror director. Very nice man from what I've heard from everyone that's worked with him.
Yeah.
And all the documentaries and everything that I watched. So I would definitely have to put him between number two and number one because, in my opinion, he's probably one of our best horror directors.
Yeah. I mean, this is the man.
Just sticks straight to, like, the horror universe.
And it's crazy because you don't think about this, but with meta and the whole meta humor, he made that a thing. And, yes, it was a writing about, by the way, my number two, who I'll get into. But Wes Craven, with meta, he was making fun of some of his old shit. He was making fun of, like, Swamp Thing and Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff, and he made it legendary, and he made that its own thing, and people don't even know he's making fun of some of his own shit, because he's one of those horror directors that did some campy stuff, and he still made it awesome. So everything Wes Craven did was smart, cutting edge, you know, next level. It always seemed like, you know, you can tell a movie when someone's just focused on this movie, and it's great to put all your focus into that movie, but you can tell when someone's always looking at the big picture, and he's one of those guys that always has a big picture in mind.
And what stands out for me particular with him is that he actually is known as a prankster on his set. Because what he normally does is, like, he throws everyone for a loop. Like, on the set of Scream, he would only give them, like, one or two sheets of script, guys. Like, the killers didn't even know they were the killers until they filmed that scene and they got that script. And they were like, oh, I'm the killer?
Yeah.
That's weird. So he did a really good job. And he also, on top of that, he tapped the voice behind Ghostface completely anonymous for as long as he could.
Yeah.
the actors and actresses because he wanted them to be scared. And also, he's one of the only horror directors that I know who was not afraid to make Drew Barrymore cry.
No.
And that was amazing.
And the thing is with all those stories, he's also loving and caring, and every actor that ever worked with him has positive things to say, too.
Yeah.
Because he's got that family vibe, too. He'll fuck with you and make sure he gets the best performance, but he's also a caring father figure, from what I've heard.
Absolutely, but, like, the one instance that stands out the most to me is in Scream 1, he wanted Casey Becker to have real tears, and he couldn't get Drew Barrymore to cry. So he found out that she had a golden retriever when she was younger named Buddy, who got ran over in the middle of the street, and she found his body. So this man went out and got a picture of a dog that looks exactly like her dog did, guys, bloodied up on the side of the road, and gave it to her. And
oh,
she bawled.
That's what he wanted.
And that's what he wanted. He wanted the bawling. He wanted the hysteria and the sobbing.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know what? You ain't going to do it for me. I'll just go get a picture of your dead dog.
Yeah. Truly brilliant. As is my number two, who I guess is kind of simultaneous with number one, Kevin Williamson.
Kevin Williamson!
One of the greatest horror writers of all time. He made the meta genre. He made Scream. He just wrote this new one too, right? Five.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote Scream 1, 2, 4, and 5.
He was also in the series as well.
Exactly. So the only one he didn't write is considered the worst one in the franchise. So that tells you how good he is. He's another one, big picture. He already had the sequel when Paramount bought the rights for the first one.
Well, that's also because it took so long for him to get it picked up.
Yeah. But he is I Know What You Did Last Summer. That's another thing that kind of goes against the meta genre, and it's different. It's more like a slasher from the 80s, but it's still awesome.
Yeah.
And it's still different, and it's still unique, and it's still great. I'm an aspiring writer, just like a lot of kids. I look to him as inspiration. He's one of the best writers I've ever seen. The things he does is crazy to me. The way he can make you care about a character and then kill him off and get that emotional beat inside of you, it's hard to do that. So the fact that he does that so effortlessly and makes you care about someone in 2 hours, so then when he kills them, it feels like it's a big emotion. It's hard to do that. So his writings is, to me, the best of the best.
I would agree.
All right, absolutely. Mindy, number one.
All right, guys, my number one is going to be Mr. Anthony Hopkins, also known as Hannibal Lecter, Hannibal the Cannibal, or Dr. Hannibal Lecter, if you want to be precise, because he was a doctor. He's actually a psychologist. Silence of the Lambs has always been one of my top favorite psychological horrors.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Because as far as psychological horrors go, it really does a great job of getting in your head and drilling in the side of your head and being like, this is weird. This is creepy. Why am I watching this? But at the same time, too, it didn't focus that much on the cannibalism part. And I love that. I respect that a lot. Because they very easily could have made it a scary movie by having him eat people.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They did the more psychological warfare.
Yeah.
Instead of physical. And I completely agree with that. I think it was a great way to go. And, I mean, to this day, I still think of Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter. Because other people at this point, like, you've had Hannibal the TV show, you had Hannibal Rising. So there's other ones that have come out as Hannibal Lecter, other actors and whatnot. But I have to say, Anthony Hopkins, he nailed it.
Yeah.
Did such a good job. I mean, he's the only person I know that can be like, oh, you knew him? Well, I served his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Are you serious? Did that come out of your mouth?
Yeah.
That's not okay.
And what's crazy about him is he can show up in other movies,
mm-hmm.
actions, comedies, drama, and you still think it's a horror movie because it's Anthony Hopkins. Like, he's just got that creepy aura about him. You're like, oh, shit, it's Hannibal Lecter. Shit's about to go down.
Yes. Absolutely. He's just a really, really, really good psychological horror actor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, before I get into my number one, I want to give a couple honorable mentions. One to M. Night Shyamalan, who made The Twist, and two to Rod Sterling, the man who made the Twilight Zone.
Okay.
So I had to give two to those. But my number one, Stephen King.
Okay. Stephen King.
Not only the greatest horror author of all, but the greatest author of all time. I put him over R.L. Stein, over any other author, George R. Martin. Some of my favorite authors in the world, I put Stephen King over. What he's been willing to do, and the rights and the licensing that he's done for his movies, everything's been huge. Even the TV series like Rose Red and shit did
the
numbers.
The miniseries, Animal Hospital, Rose Red.
Exactly. All those. And from the movies to what has happened with It and everything. And Secret Window. He's done Dr. Sleep now that just came out. We saw that great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he's done has been like legendary status.
Except
and
for the new Pet Sematary. I'm sorry, Mr. King. I know you're trying to make your horror movies more relevant and more to the time, but don't fix it if it's not broke.
But how about the first one? There you go. He's got the first Pet Sematary. That's another one in his resume.
Oh, absolutely.
He's been missing more lately. It's hard not to miss in the newer generation. But he had a lot more hits than misses in his prime.
Yeah, absolutely. And now they're all coming out and being remade. Like Storm of the Century is going to be remade.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to see where it's going to go.
But everything about him, he's one of the most creative minds in history, so not even horror. He's just one of the most creative minds in history, so he's my number one.
I agree.
All right, Mindy.
Okay, guys. I think this wraps it up.
Yeah.
We had a really good time here tonight on Scaredy Cats, this afternoon, I should say. Not tonight yet. I hope that you enjoyed all of our top 20, basically, is what it was. We hope you really enjoyed it. Also, just so everybody knows, the season finale, I did say season because we've been removed, for season two, amazing, Chucky the TV series, the last episode of the series, a season, is going to be premiering Tuesday night at 10 on Sci-Fi. Great show. Give them some love. Go check it out.
Absolutely.
Amazing, amazing show. Brad Dourif comes back as Chucky. His daughter Fiona is in there. So very, very, very good.
A good time.
Very good time. And it's been renewed for a second season, which is amazing. That doesn't normally get done with horror TV shows like that. It's normally one and done.
Absolutely.
So that'll be interesting. Also, guys, we have the official air date for spring.
When is it?
Number 5. It's going to be January 16th.
We'll be in theaters.
It'll be in theaters.
Also, quick one. For horror survival, if you're fans of the video game, we saw it last week. We didn't do it for homework to do it for the show. Check out Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you want something a little scarier. This was a lot more horror than we thought it would be.
Guys, it made me jump.
Yeah. So it really gets back to the game's horror roots. So if you are expecting more of an action thing, it's really not that.
No.
It's more a little scary and claustrophobic and horror. So I would check that out for a recommendation.
And it was funny.
Yeah. It was a comedic good time, too.
Yeah. But other than that, I think that's all we have to cover.
All right, Mindy. We will see everybody next week for Candyman 3.
Ka-ka, ka-ka. Bye, guys. Have a good day. Good week.